is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Kathy Barnett on The Kathy Barnett Show. I am so excited for another day because let me tell you something. We are going to double click, triple click on something that is not very popular to do in the culture of violins, right? Like bleeding hearts and violins. But we're gonna have to do it because right now we are in what I am calling the time of the squeeze. The USDA, I'm sure all of you guys have seen it. Every time you turn on your phone, you can't help but to see a slew of videos of people talking about they're not gonna get their food stamps this month, right? So there's a lot of people having a lot of conversations about the threat of not being able to receive their food stamps at the beginning of the month of November. The USDA has been putting out warnings on their website that the well is running dry. And I read a couple of days ago that 41 million Americans are under the threat of not receiving food stamps, SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Now, and of course, everybody's talking about, oh, poor people, they have to eat and all of that. But then I started thinking down a different path. And that path is 41 million Americans. That's equivalent to a little over 12% of the population. To say it another way, one out of every eight people you see in your life on any given day, one out of eight people are relying on my tax dollars, your tax dollars, to feed them every single month. I don't know. That just seems excessive that we live in the greatest country in the world. And let's count it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Every eight person you see in this country, every day, every eight person is relying on the government to provide them the bare minimum for survival. I don't know if you guys remember in school, we had the Maslow hierarchy of needs. And before I can ascend up that hierarchy of needs ladder to think about, you know, how I want to live my life, you know, sitting and retiring and all of that. Before you can ascend up the Maslow hierarchy of needs, you got to focus in on that bottom rung. And that bottom rung, one of the several elements just for survival is food. So think about it from that. Every eighth person we see, it's as if someone, the every eighth person on the street walks into your home, goes into your refrigerator, and every single month they're looking at you saying, feed me, Seymour. I don't know. I feel some kind of way about that. And I know, again, we live in a culture where we're supposed to be like poor people, oh, the poor people have to eat. But I can't help but asking myself, and I know I may get in some trouble for this, but I can't help but ask myself, I mean, who's feeding me? Who's feeding my children? Who's feeding your children? When I go to Giant, I'm getting, the other day I went to Giant and I got like, what, 10 items and it was over $100? And I'm thinking to myself, like, there's a squeeze going on and that squeeze is on the middle class. Think about the last time you heard anyone mention the middle class. We don't. Not any longer. When I was a kid, we talked about the middle class all the time. I would hear people talk about it. But today, we're either talking about the uber rich, the ultra rich, the 1%, or we're talking about the poor people. And no one talks about the middle class, on whose shoulder the entire domino, the entire foundation is resting on. I mean, yeah, I'm gonna use that example. The middle class is like the domino that if we should fall over, we will be living in a country of rulers and serfs, of the haves and the have nots. Think about that. No one talks about the middle class. And I know we live in a culture where everything is about poor people, but honestly, I'm tired of talking about poor people. I am. I want to hear people talk about the middle class because there's a squeeze on it. Now, I say this as someone who grew up very impoverished. So I'm not being, you know, I didn't read about, I didn't learn about poverty by reading about it in a book. I didn't peek at a spreadsheet and then run out here on the mic and start talking about poverty. I know I grew up in a one-stop sign town on a pig farm in a home with no insulation, no running water, an outhouse in the back, a well on the side. When I say poor, we couldn't afford the other O. We were just po. I distinctly remember my grandmother, Grandma Hattie, asking me to help her in the garden. And I don't know why, but I can still remember the feeling that my grandmother just wants to spend time with me. And that made me feel good. But it wasn't until I grew up and became an adult and looked back and realized that was about survival. If we wanted beans or peas or potatoes or tomatoes, we had to go grow it. That was a part of our survival. We worked. I remember them working very hard. I remember my grandparents waking up early, going to bed late, working hard, trying to stretch a dollar, trying to make ends meet, robbing from Peter to pay Paul. Now, I was a kid, so I don't know if they got food stamps. I have no idea. But what I do remember is that we had a garden. And if we wanted peas or beans or tomatoes, potatoes, we had to go and grow it. And today, you guys see the same videos I'm watching. I don't know if it's a product of the algorithms pushing certain videos in our face, but you see what I see. On the first of every month, you go into any store, especially if you go into a Walmart, you see people with two very large shopping carts filled with, piled high with sugary, everything sugary, fattening, processed, you name it, it is in there, soda pop. What you don't see is beans, rice, and Brussels sprouts. And I can't help but to say, who's taking care of the middle class? Because for the middle class, there's a squeeze going on. And this is the reason why come next week, we have Zoran Mamdani, who looks as if he could be the next mayor of the largest, most wealthiest city in the world, New York City. And as much as I don't like the guy, I'm not surprised that we have Americans who are willing to trade in bread, to trade in freedom for bread. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Kathy Barnett Show.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to The Kathy Barnett Show, my flagship station, WPHT 1210, the number one talk radio station in Philadelphia. And I am your host, Kathy Barnett. Listen, follow me if you have not already on Twitter at Kathy4Truth. You can also find me on YouTube at Kathy4Truth, Kathy4Truth. Almost everything, Facebook, Instagram, is Kathy4Truth, because if it's not about truth, what is it? So let's get back to what we were talking about, because come next Tuesday, November 4th, you know, as a Republican, we are supposed to just keep hope alive and just say positive affirmations that Zoran Mamdani is not going to win. But if you're looking at all the polls, it's telling a very different story. Let me tell you something. Zoran Mamdani is so popular among a certain segment of our population right now that the man could literally run into the center of Times Square and scream to the top of his lungs, "Ayatollah Khamenei is my father," and nothing would happen to his poll numbers. His poll numbers would not dip at all. That's how insane this is. Because as much as I don't like the man, and I don't, the reality is that we are in trouble as a country. Americans are hurting. The working class is being crushed. And when people hurt long enough, they start listening to anyone who's willing to sound as if they care. Now, be not confused. Ma'am Donnie does not care about you or your family. He's not as much of the problem, however. And I think that's very difficult for people on my side of the aisle to wrap their mind around. As much as we hate communism, as much as we loathe socialism and all this free, 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 and as much as we can, you know, point out the reality that one out of every eight American is on food stamps. In most states, it's as high as 20% of the population is on food stamp. That doesn't sound like something that's a temporary emergency. That sounds more like a lifestyle at this point. And you look at Mom Donnie and we're like, this guy is nuts. I can't believe the people are buying into it. But I am here to tell you, because we have seen it time and time again. Venezuela, one of the latest examples, that people will trade in freedom for bread. It is true. They will. And again, as much as some would say he's the problem, I don't see him as the problem. I see him as someone who is really good at pointing out the symptoms. He's really good of standing on his soapbox and saying rent is too high, because it is. He's really good at saying rent is too high, wages are too low, corporations are greedy, the system is rigged, poor people are being left behind. All of those things are true, by the way. So he's right about the symptoms, but of course, like every good socialist, his prescription is the same poison that got us into this problem in the first place. More government, bigger government, more control, more dependence. That's what he's offering. Those are his solutions. But those solutions are poison. Those solutions are the reason why we're in trouble as a country and very little is affordable. But you don't have to take my word for it. When I say he's pointing out the symptoms, the Phi Borough Institute just did a survey of New Yorkers citywide. And the top three priorities that the people of New York are saying are the issues for them is affordable housing programs or the lack thereof. Housing is bananas. It's too expensive to live. Try to buy a home. Most young people today will never own a home. That American dream we talk about, being able to own your own home, most young people will never have that. And so in this Five Borough Institute survey, the top three priorities was affordable housing, public safety, public transportation improvements. 61% of the respondents says meeting basic needs is getting harder. 42% name housing costs as their biggest financial burden. 68% avoid the subway at certain times of the day. So again, Ma'am Donnie is just promising what the people are saying their needs are. He's just acknowledging, he's really good at calling out the problems. He's not the problem. He's just calling out the symptoms of the problem. And his promises are free housing, free healthcare, free college, guaranteed jobs, guaranteed income, you name it. The word free rolls off his tongue like honey. And when people are desperate, honey sounds pretty good. And that's where we are. Look at the state of our country right now. The federal workers just missed their first full paycheck, and already 1.4 million of them are going to food banks. After just missing one paycheck, they're already at food banks. I was watching a news report, and the a federal worker, they were showing the long lines. Most of the people in the lines are federal workers who have missed just one full paycheck and already. Here's another one. I was just reading this. I think this comes from the World Population magazine. And they said more than 8 million U.S. workers now juggle two jobs, with the part-time job often filling the income gap where their full-time job is not meeting. This one is true. Older workers, 65 and over, are among the fastest growing dual earners, driven not by choice, but by retirement shortfalls and rising medical costs. So again, I say to you, when I read these stories about one out of eight Americans are on food stamps, that in many states, the number of Americans on food stamps represent roughly 20% of the population. When I read stories like that, when I read stories about federal workers miss just one paycheck and they're already at the food banks, I read that differently than poor, poor people. I read that as something has gone wrong with our country. And then you look at our politicians, they're just dining. That's what Republicans do. We win and immediately throw pool parties. I mean, as soon as we win, right? We're at Mar-a-Lago, we're in ball gowns, we're cheers, right? Eat cake. It's sad. Because I'm a part of that middle class, and I am now double thinking twice about, do I really need that? Do I really want that? And yet we all see these excesses in the lives of some. And then you see those who look really healthy, if you know what I mean. They look healthier than I do. They look like they have never missed a meal, or 10 or 20. They have never missed a meal. They look real healthy. Walking around, pushing two very large shopping carts. You've seen the videos. And everybody's like, where's my food stamps? I want my food stamp. They better give me my SNAP. And all I'm thinking is, who's looking out for the middle class? The ones who wake up consistently every day, work hard, work long hours, minding our P's and Q's, budgeting down to the penny, robbing Peter to pay Paul. Our children are in college. The baby needs a new pair of shoes. Who's taking care of us? And I talk to people. I talk to those particular people all the time. And here we have Mom Donnie, Ma'am Donnie, Zoran Ma'am Donnie. We will find out in a couple of days, in a very few days, the direction in which the nation is heading. Because this squeeze is not something that's just happening in the richest city in the world, definitely in our nation. But it is something that you're finding all across the country. I was flying across the country with Vivek during the last presidential election. And I'm in Iowa. There is a squeeze that is taking place. And no, I do not like Ma'am Donnie. And yet, Republicans and Democrats have noticed this issue, and we've done nothing to look out for the working class. It's both our problems, Republicans and Democrats. This problem did not just present itself with Ma'am Donnie. He is just really good at pointing out all the symptoms of the squeeze. I'll be right back. You're listening to The Kathy Barnett Show. See ya.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Hello, everyone. everyone. You are back. This is the Kathy Barnett Show. And I want to bring in my good friend, J.R. McGee, CEO of the Extreme Leadership Group. Over 30 years of training SEALs, Delta, Secret Service, and counterterrorism. One of the smartest men I know. When I was running my own senatorial campaign, I would call two people when I wanted to know what was going on from a geopolitical perspective. I would call General Flynn, and then I would hang up, pick up the phone, and call J.R. McGee. So I knew by the time I stepped out on that stage, I was fully informed. So, J.R., thank you so much for being on. I appreciate it.
It's a privilege and an honor, Kathy.
Yeah, so I've talked to you about this many, many times, but as I was, you know, just to give you a little bit of a recap of what I've been talking about, is that, you know, in the midst of this government shutdown, we come to find out that 41 million Americans are on food stamps. That means almost 12% of the population of the nation, roughly one out of eight Americans. So you count every eighth person is relying on the government to feed them. You know, I'm thinking about the Maslow hierarchy of needs. And then you look at what is about to happen next Tuesday with the New York mayoral race with Zohran Mamdani and many Republicans, for example, conservatives are saying, why in the world would Americans vote for a communist / jihadist sympathizer? And as I've been saying, is that in times of the squeeze and distress, people will trade in freedom for bread. Now, they end up having neither, but what they think they're getting, right? They're willing to trade in freedom if they think they're going to get some comfort or get their need met. And Zohran Mamdani, although I don't like him, he's really good at pointing out the problems, at pointing out the symptoms. Yeah. And that's what people listening to chime in here.
You know, it wasn't until the end of World War II that the federal government really took it upon themselves to give individual citizens money. There's not a single syllable in the Constitution that authorizes the government to pay individuals money. It's unconstitutional, but it has been so institutionalized that people don't bat an eye at it anymore. And to be honest with you, for many years, it was families' job to take care of family members who were in need. And when that broke down, it was our local churches and civic organizations. And then when that broke down, it was the local governments who took care of people. It was never the federal government's job to take money from one person who's worked for it and give it to somebody else who didn't. Now, before people think that I'm just hard-hearted, I went through four consecutive IRS audits because the IRS considers normal charitable contributions and then what they call excessive contributions. And I was over 300% more than what the IRS considers excessive contributions, charitable contributions. I give away over 35% of my gross salary to charitable contributions. So I believe in taking care of people. But, you know, there was an article that came out about a half hour ago where it said people on food stamps are saying that if they don't get their food stamps next week, they're going to simply go into Walmart, go into Giant, go into Kroger and steal food. Now, I'm sorry, but that's illegal. Why should Giant, why should Walmart, private organizations suffer loss for something they don't control? I can't see any justification for taking something from somebody who's not at fault in order to solve.
But what really is going to happen, if you understand economics, is that if they rush in, first of all, it sounds like they're able-bodied if they're able to rush in and just manhandle the employees and steal food. That sounds very able-bodied to me. So you should not be taking food stamps. But if you just follow the economics of all of this, let's say they do run in and steal food. Well, do you think John Giant or Walmart or Costco is going to eat that cost. No, they're going to pass it on to the middle class, right? So because the people who are on SNAP, they don't care about inflation because they're getting free money.
Yes.
They didn't go work for it. But those of us, like myself and like you and many of the people who are listening to my show right now, you should be very wary and mindful, right? So it's not about being hard-hearted, but we live in a culture that is like, oh, the poor people. I've already told them. I grew up on a pig farm below the bottom rung of the economic ladder. And I am here telling you, I'm tired of everyone talking about the poor people at the exclusion of any conversation about middle class. I can't think of the last time I heard anyone talk about the middle class.
And I also grew up in South Alabama. We were so poor, we pumped sunshine in and we pumped moonshine out. So I understand poor. But here's the thing. If you're strong enough to beat me up, you're strong enough to go get a job.
How about that?
At some point, people have to understand you've got to take responsibility of yourself first. Now, I have every expectation that for people in our society who cannot take care of themselves, who are sick, who are incapacitated, who are handicapped, who through no fault of their own find themselves in a situation where they cannot work, physically cannot work, we have an obligation to take care of those people. But Kathy, I'm sorry, I do not have a personal obligation to take care of somebody so they can sit on a couch and watch TV while I'm out working. That's not part of the deal. And at some point, 41 million people is excessive for food stamps.
Yeah. We're in the now why are we talking about this? Because we just want to pounce on the misery of the misfortunate? No, that's not the reason.
No, not at all.
We are in the midst of a revolution in this country. And it feels as though we're on a knife's edge of what happened in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at, whether you're looking at Minnesota or whether you're looking at California or you're looking at Zahram Mamdani in New York, we have American citizens strongly considering, and within a couple of days, being able to vote in a socialist, a communist, a jihadist sympathizer, all because he says, I'm going to give you some free stuff. I'm going to release some of the pressure from the squeeze. And if we as Republicans and these ridiculous Democrats continue to ignore the squeeze that is happening on the middle of America, on the middle class within America, it is at our peril as a nation, as a constitutional republic. It's at our peril.
It is. And Kathy, it boils down to numbers. 41 million people on food stamps says that there are a lot of people not working. And people say that the rich people should pay their fair share. I'm sorry, that the top 2% already pay more than 50% of all the taxes. The middle class pays the other 50% of the taxes. Do you realize 52% of the United States pays no taxes at the federal level whatsoever? The problem, the root cause of the problem is this. People have gotten very comfortable with getting money from the government they haven't worked for. That is anathema to our system. That is not how our country was set up. That's not how our society is supposed to function. But you've got people who have found out that they can get themselves a job by promising people something that they didn't work for. And people's human nature is, I want something for nothing. All of us do. Every human being wants to get as much as they can for as little work as possible. It's an algebraic equation. It's as old as the Garden of Eden. And yet, rather than having the discipline and the accountability of working for yourself and taking care of your own family, we've allowed this concept of the government being responsible for taking care of me and my family, and that is corrosive. That's a wagon that cannot be pulled forever. Once everybody's in the wagon, nobody's pulling the wagon. And once nobody's pulling the wagon stops. That is a fact of life. And we're reaching the point now where fewer and fewer people are pulling the wagon and more people are getting on the wagon. At some point, those few people left pulling the wagon are going to say, I'm not pulling this wagon any longer. And that's where our system collapses. And here's the sad part about socialism. It sounds wonderful. I would love for it to work, but it has never worked anywhere at any time for any person. Everybody says, well, it's just the right people haven't tried it yet. We're the right people. We can make it work. That hasn't worked for 5,000 years. It's not going to work. It's a siren song that sounds wonderful that leads to the collapse and the degradation of the human spirit. People are happiest when they're responsible for themselves.
JR, please hold that thought. I have to go to a very quick break. I'll be right back. You're listening to The Kathy Barnett Show. I'll be right back.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Okay, everyone, this is the last segment here, the last couple of minutes here, but I want to just kind of put a bow. You're listening to The Kathy Barnett Show on my flagship station, WPHT 1210, the number one talk radio station in Philadelphia, covering most of the Mid-Atlantic. So let me put a bow on what we've been talking about, because I know we've been trained these past several years to just pull out the violins. Whenever you see something that brings a tear to your eye, you're like, the government should pay for it. But by government, what you mean is you. You mean you. You mean me. We should be paying for it. And if you think of 41 million Americans on food stamps, from through the perspective of every single month, every eighth person you meet on the street walks into your front, walks through your front door, goes to your refrigerator and sits down and starts eating food out of your refrigerator. That's what it is. It's every eighth person in this country is relying on someone else's benevolence. And now it doesn't even really feel like benevolence, because, again, I don't know if these videos I'm watching on social media is a part of the algorithms just pushing me a narrative or if it's real. But the reality is I feel like it's real. And these people don't seem very grateful. There's not a lot of gratitude when they're talking about rushing into giant Walmart and Costco and just taking what they want. So whatever the degrees of truth to any of this may be, the fact that our government has just published 41 million Americans have severed that the link between survival and work has severed somehow, that in order to survive, they wait for the government to put something into their hands. That is a problem, not just for those 41 million people, not just for me and my house, but for the future of this country. Because I talk to I have a lot of people who fled from Cuba. I have a lot of friends who have fled from Venezuela. We're going to have one of them on next week. We're in our country, we're in the midst of what I believe is a revolution. This Antifa, this throwing bricks and fighting and firebombing our ICE agents, our federal agents, our police officers. And now you have, you know, the largest city, the most wealthiest city in the nation, getting ready to potentially vote for a communist / socialist / jihadist sympathizer. Bells should be going off for all of us on the state of our nation. JR, I'm going to hand it to you.
You know, most people, most normal people feel best when they take care of themselves, when you accomplish something by the sweat of your own brow, by your own efforts. That's when people are happiest. We've lost that. We've, as you say, we've severed that connection between self-accountability, self-reliance, and independence, and substituting that with dependence on the government. And, you know, in business, we always teach people it's best to run business with OPM, other people's money. Well, this is now what the welfare state is, living on other people's money. And politicians are extraordinarily good at giving away large amounts of money, billions of dollars, because it's not their money. Can you imagine if some of these Democrat politicians or Republican politicians or independent politicians started having to give away their own money for these programs that they're promulgating? They would shut off like that. Nobody would pay their own money for some of these things, but yet because it's other people's money, they can spend that without thought, without consequence, without any accountability. And we don't hold our politicians accountable for it. At some point, billions becomes a rounding error and trillions become natural and normalized. And trillions of dollars, people have no concept of how much money a trillion is. And now we're $38 trillion in debt. That cannot be paid off, not in our lifetimes, not even in our children's lifetimes. We keep giving money away, and yet we're running a deficit. We're running a normal deficit each year at the government's over $1 trillion a year. That's more money that we're spending than we're taking in by $1 trillion a year. That's unsustainable. It cannot keep going. That wagon is breaking down. And once the wagon stops, all these people are going to be wondering, you think you got problems with SNAP food stamps now. Wait till the wagon stops and there is no money and there's no money coming. What are people going to do then? At some point, Kathy, we have to encourage people. You can't mandate it because we've trained them to be dependent. But we have to start training people to reaccept personal accountability, personal liability. We have to teach people it is best to be responsible for yourself. It cannot be acceptable for you to feel like you are owed other people's money. That is always a recipe for resentment. At some point, somebody's going to resent that. And it's one thing to give money willingly. And like I said in the previous segment, I give so much money that the IRS thinks that I'm cheating. I've got the receipts. I've passed. In fact, all four audits, they wound up owing me more money. But they were triggered because my charitable contributions is so high. I believe in that. I don't believe in taking money from somebody unwillingly and giving it to somebody else who hasn't earned it. That is, and it's not because I feel bad about their situation. I feel horrible about that. But at some point, they have to learn to take care of themselves. They have to learn how to be independent because nobody can afford to pay for somebody else forever. SNAP was always intended to be a part-time, short-term solution while you're finding a job. It was never meant to be a lifestyle. Our biggest problem is that is now a lifestyle. And now that it's threatened, people are saying, wait, you're threatening my lifestyle. You're threatening to cut off. You can go get a job tomorrow. There's jobs everywhere. I'm working at a company today with a client. They're trying desperately to find people. They can't find enough people to hire. And yet we've got 41 million people on food stamps. And every place I go work at, the number one problem they have right now is finding qualified people to go work.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I mean, because we're going to have to start talking as a nation about these H-1B visas real soon, because we have a crisis on the number of workers. Like, what is the workforce participation? The workforce participation right now is expected within 5 years to look like it did during COVID, when we were all mandated to stay home. That's a problem when you have 41 million Americans, many of whom are able-bodied enough to threaten to go into the store and beat people up and just take what they want. So that sounds pretty able-bodied to me. And we have a problem in this nation. Zahram Mamdani, as much as I detest the fact that this man with his ideology and his view of his worldview could potentially be the mayor of what was once the greatest city in the world, what is certainly the richest city in our nation. That's very disturbing to me. But again, we have to rightly discern what is happening here. He is simply really good at pointing out the symptoms. Yep. The problem has been in existence for decades now. And both those on the Republican side of the aisle, as well as the Democrat side of the aisle, have just been kicking the can down the road and now beating their chest and not really focusing on how to make the cost of living reasonable for people. Like I said earlier, we have generations of young people who will never own a home, who are talking about never getting married and having children because the cost of living is so cost prohibitive. These are very real problems that have existed for a very long time, long before Ma'am Donnie has come on the scene. And as much as we detest what is happening in Minnesota, California, in Vermont, over here and now in New York and everywhere in between, we cannot pretend that they are the problem. No. The problem we have been living with for a very long time, JR.
Yeah, I get in trouble for being too optimistic. And I find a silver lining in this. There's two silver linings. Number one,
okay,
Mondami is actually a good thing because people are going to see very quickly how close to socialism the rest of the United States is. And if he wins, they're going to get a master's class in how degrading and damaging socialism can be. The second silver lining is 41 million people, most Americans had zero idea this many people were on food stamps. Nobody had an idea this many people were on welfare. And yet this has highlighted this. These two actions alone should wake up people who have been very comfortable with, oh, it's just politics as usual. This is just normal political stuff. It's not. This shutdown has awakened a sleeping giant. People are finally becoming aware. And this awareness from both the dangers of socialism and the massive amounts of people that we have that are dependent on the government should get people at least aware of the consequences of their actions, and even more importantly, the consequences of your inactions. If you do not vote, you're part of the problem. You're part of why this has been allowed to occur. We don't hold our politicians accountable because we don't vote. We've got a sacred obligation and a privilege in this country to vote. Almost nowhere else in the world you have an unfettered ability to vote. And yet we take that so much for granted that we ignore it.
We do. JR, thank you so much for coming on and capping this conversation with a mandate. November 4th, next Tuesday, get out and vote. Blessings. You've been listening to The Kathy Barnett Show. Go check me out wherever you listen to podcasts. Go find me, subscribe, and share. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.